This is Ozarks at Large. Saturday night, the Russians are coming. The Russians are coming to the Air and Art Center. Well, in a way. The Arkansas Philharmonic Orchestra, the APO, has a program of Russian music. Stephen Bias, the conductor, is with me. How are you?
Doing very well. Always a pleasure to be here.
Russian music.
Russian music, indeed. I think anyone who knows me knows I have a penchant for all things Russian, musically speaking, that is, and the composers and the folk traditions. It's wonderful stuff, but this is a great program this weekend.
Well, it's the I don't know if you can say there's a headliner, but Rachmaninoff's that's my choice for a headliner. How's that?
It's difficult to top the Rachmaninoff second piano concerto with anything. I mean, the third is very popular. People do play the first from time to time, but as far as concerti go, it may be the most popular piano concerto ever written, and much to the chagrin of all the composers who were Rachmaninoff's contemporary in 1900, this piece became certainly the most popular piano concerto of the 20th century. It's a thrilling, dynamic, organically perfect work.
You did not have to go far geographically to find your soloist there.
That's true. That's one of the most exciting things. In addition to being a program of essentially orchestral and soloist show pieces and being Russian and exciting and exotic, this concert is essentially a presentation of the artists of Northwest Arkansas. The musicians in the orchestra are featured in two orchestral show pieces. And Jonathan Story, a local pianist, a really amazing talent, will perform the Rachmaninoff. Plus, this is our first presentation of the inaugural Arkansas Philharmonic Orchestra, University of Arkansas concerto competition. We have a young man, a flutist named Bryce Smith, who will perform the only non-Russian work on the program, a flute concerto by Malcolm Arnold, the English composer.
So the Rachmaninoff is very popular, but it's probably fair to say Night on Bald Mountain is more well-known. I mean, that's one that even if people don't know what it's called, you've heard it.
That's true. And one of the things I enjoy about Night on Bald Mountain is that children know it as well. It was a very important part in the movie Fantasia and an introduction to this very dark, brooding, exciting, thrilling, mysterious music that children have known for now a couple of generations. But it's an orchestral showpiece that's known by most people. And it's interesting. One of the things I like about this piece is that almost none of the music by the Russian composer Modest Mussorgsky is presented in its original form. A lot of the composers of the 19th century thought they knew better, thought that the Mussorgsky's music was impractical, too rough. And so it was spiffed up quite a bit, made bright and polished by Rimsky-Korsakov. The French composer Maurice Ravel, of course, orchestrated pictures at an exhibition. But when you hear Mussorgsky's music in its original form, it is earthy, a little brash, sometimes raw. But it suited and reflected the personality of Mussorgsky and is really exotic in its own right, very different from what we're accustomed to hearing. But all of his music has a certain very primal appeal, and Night on Bald Mountain is one of those such pieces. And it's an orchestral showpiece where everyone in the orchestra gets a chance to be featured.
Do you ever think about your role? Because you mentioned Ravel and Rimsky-Korsakov tweaking or altering or adapting. By definition, that's what you do every concert, whether you willfully intend it or not, because we'll never hear something the same way again. And through your manipulation is too hard a word, but through your direction, we hear the music the way, hopefully, you want us to hear it. Do you think about that role? You're taking some centuries-old music at times, and for that night, it's in your hands.
That's a great question. As a matter of fact, I think about this a lot. The role of a conductor is a complex one in the best state of being a conductor. I really believe on every level that it's essential that a conductor will remove ego from the role of actually collaborating with musicians. It's a grand irony that the conductor is the only person on stage not making a sound. And so to bring the musicians together to play must begin with a certain respect and gratitude for the musicians who are there actually making the sounds. But to remove ego from it completely and create an environment where the musicians can do their best to create the music is always my goal. But my training, my musical training, runs the gamut to be able to access what the composer's real intentions were. Of course, we do know that there are some instrumental soloists, vocal soloists, conductors who like to put their stamp on things and will sacrifice the composer's intent for their own agenda, musical or otherwise. But that's not my goal, never has been. And I think that's one of the reasons why the musicians here in Northwest Arkansas like me so much. I approach these pieces from the composer's standpoint as best I can, and I research them infinitely. This is probably the sixth, eighth, ninth time I've conducted The Night on Bald Mountain. But I look at it fresh and anew each time, trying to understand what it was that was the composer's intent and to bring that to life in the most concise and efficient way that I can with the Arkansas Philharmonic or any orchestra that I'm working. But it's a very good question.
7:30 Saturday night, Arendt Arts Center.
Yes, and you can buy tickets at the door. You can go online to our website and purchase tickets if you like, but we'd love to see as many people there to support our regional musicians in the orchestra and these two fantastic soloists from Fayetteville to play with the orchestra.
ArkansasPhilharmonic.org is the website.
That's correct.
Stephen Bias, thank you again.
Always a pleasure.
We heard Stephen Bias discussing the Rachmaninoff. The man who will be at the keys for Rachmaninoff's second is Jonathan Story, and he's with me now inside the Anthony and Susan Hoy News studio. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Kyle?
Very good. How great. Familiar are you with Mr. Rachmaninoff?
I'm pretty familiar with him. I would say that if you look at all the scope of composers, I've probably played more of his work than just about anybody else.
So what about the second? What as an artist or a musician do you have to know about the second?
Well, my attachment to the second is just intuitive. I've always just loved the piece personally. And I think that something that people should know about it is the period of time in Rachmaninoff's life in which it was written was a very pivotal time. It was around the turn of the century, I believe 1901. He had premiered his first symphony a couple of years beforehand, and that was condemned by the critics, panned by the critics, not very well received. And so he was, for a couple of years, he was deeply depressed.
And not writing at
Yeah,
all,
he
right?
didn't write I mean, anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the second concerto, after he was able to overcome that depression, he wrote the second piano concerto, dedicated it to his psychiatrist who helped him overcome this grief. And so that's something that's, you know, I think important to know about the history of the piece. The piece itself, it's lasts just under 35 minutes, depending on who's playing it, I guess. I would say 33, 34 for me, but once I take the stage, it may be 30 or 31 minutes.
Just because of adrenaline?
Adrenaline,
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The movements are all about 10 minutes each. The first movement, very, very Russian sounding, of course. The beginning of the piece to me is like the tolling of bells, those chords that come in the piano, and then this tragic theme comes in, and then a very beautiful second theme. The second movement is kind of like, I would say, similar to an aria, with the piano singing and the orchestra playing, and then a tumultuous section in the middle, and then coming back to that first theme. The third movement is it's more of a kind of a rondo form.
30 to 35 minutes with one piece. Does that take stamina on the pianist part?
It does. That's one of the challenges of a lot of stuff written by Rachmaninoff, and pretty much most of the concerto literature is that concertos generally do take stamina, having to make it through 30, 35, 40 minutes. And then when you add to the fact that it's Rachmaninoff, that takes even more because, I mean, he has huge chords, thick chords. You know, there's a lot of notes.
When you're on stage with a conductor in an orchestra, you can't see the conductor. You're looking at the music, right?
Well, actually, I don't have music.
You've got
stage.
It. Okay.
Yeah, I got it memorized. And,
so,
actually, Stephen and I have already gone through the piece. We did that a couple of days ago and went very well. So I'm confident of the notes and confident going into this. Actually, I've worked harder on this than I have on anything in the past. So well-prepared, I think.
When you and I are talking Thursday afternoon, when will you have your first run-through with the entire APO?
We will have our first run-through tomorrow, Friday, at 6:30. And then Saturday morning, we'll practice, we'll do a run-through, and then we'll play Saturday night. It's really pretty phenomenal, amazing what these orchestras do, because the conductor comes in the week of the performance, we have a couple of rehearsals, and we perform. And that's the quality of the musicians, just really high-quality musicians, of course, world-class conductor in Stephen Baez. And, you know, it's pretty crazy what they're able to accomplish in such a short time.
Say it's a Sunday afternoon, you've got nothing to do. I don't know if you ever have these, but you just sit down here at piano and go, you know what, I'm going to play the and you don't have a concert for it coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Just for grins, I'm going to play the Rachmaninoff second from start to finish. Do you ever do that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm always, even when I'm working on, like, let's say, while I've been working on this concerto, there are times when I've pulled out new repertoire and I've just looked through new repertoire because I'm always anticipating what I'm going to do next. Pianists are always doing that.
All right. What to an actor I say break a leg? What do I say to you for Saturday?
Anything but break a finger.
Okay. Well, then, anything but break a finger. Thank you, Jonathan.
Thanks, Kyle.